So I want to share this with you guys, because what I know is maybe there's some people out here in the audience that they're not even familiar with what the prophetic is today. You know, and even when people talk about it, they're just thinking, oh, that's just kind of weird. That's kind of way out there. Yeah, I used to be that guy too. But what I did was, when I seen the truth of the gospel, because I began to read it myself, right? I stopped taking what men would say and say, this is the way you should think, this is the way you should believe, this is the way you should see it. And I just went into the Word of God myself. Then, as Paul said, in there is, no man was my teacher. This revelation was brought by the Holy Spirit himself, you know? And so what God has done is he's taken me on a journey, and again, understanding and knowing, like, I just judge by the fruit. I mean, I'm looking around my life and I'm like, dang, boy, there's an orchard going on here. And glory to God because of that. You know, not because of my efforts, but rather of me choosing to lay my life down and God moving in and becoming the very supply and sustenance in my life. And it's one of the most amazing things ever. So I'm going to share a word with you guys. So this may be new. Again, if you want to listen to this, you can go find Julia Green on that Rumble channel. So I'm just going to read this. This is written down from her word for us. This was actually delivered this morning. It says, "For I, the Lord, this day say a great resurrection will take place again from death to life, from weak to strong, from poor to rich, from sick to healthy, from depressed to joy, from bondage to complete freedom. My children, the world and your adversary, along with everyone who uses or he uses, tried to kill my body. He tried to weaken you with doctrines and to completely twist my words so that there would be no power in them. They tried to change what you believe in everything, especially with me and what I say is true. They've deceived my body into lies and making them believe it's truth. My children, don't you see that they have tried to annihilate you, your strength, your control, your power in the earth that I've created for you, not for the enemy, and all that they are doing upon this earth? I will raise you up from this darkness. I will draw you out completely where they have no power or influence over you. All you have to do is believe, trust, and rely on me now and not yourselves. Brush off, shake loose that discouragement in which circumstances have kept you. Stop falling for their deception, their distractions, their destruction. It's not for you. A great resurrection is about to take place of my body, aligning with the head which gives you power, strength, authority, dominion, and everything you need to take this earth and bring my light into it and to destroy this gross darkness. My children, come alive. Come alive in me. I will show you all that I have for you, and all that I have for this earth to enjoy is my glory and my goodness. A great awakening will continue to grow in this time. Even greater and more will see, more will be free, more will change, more will receive truth and receive my word, my love, my forgiveness, and my plan for them upon this earth. So arise and come alive and come to me in the light of my word and my truth. Come to me and it will destroy the enemy, says the Lord. The great shock is coming to the United States. I will show you the great architect of January 6th. I will show you the great architect behind the stolen elections. I will show you the great architect behind the world's financial systems. I will show you the great architect behind your failing judicial system. I will reveal to you the architect who controls your news and social media. I will show you the big fish that no one has ever caught in this acts and these crimes of treason against this nation, but I have. I will show you what they have done. I will show you who is in charge of all these sex trafficking rings all over the world. It will shock you how politics has created this monster, fueled it, and continuously keeps it going with their power and their money. I will show you the architect behind the New World Order, the UN, the World Economic Forum. I will show you the architect behind all the indictments, all the corruption in the land of my eagle, United States, and the nations around the world. It's time for the corruption to fall and to be exposed. Every rat, every traitor, every criminal, every treasonous act will be revealed for all to see. Every architect to be brought down before the world for justice to be served and freedoms to enjoy like no other time. So come to me, my children, and I will give you rest. During this time of great upsets, shock, and destruction of your enemy's empire that they designed against you, it's all coming down before you, says the Lord of hosts. Heresy. This word will be spoken in your news for a shocking reason. Fox News is about to be exposed in a shocking way. More hot mics will be exposed for all to hear. More whistleblowers are coming forward, and more proof on the news media and how they were lying to you and who is telling them the scripts to read. Major news reports will come out exposing Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's time for their fall in a major way. Watergate, I say this word again. It's not how the media made it out to be, and that architect will also be exposed big time. CIA whistleblowers will come out in a big way. Hold on, because shocking information is coming with all that they have done against my eagle, and they will be judged and justice will be served for the treason, for the crimes, and for the theft that they have committed against this nation and around the world. A wolf is about to be exposed that has been hiding in plain sight in your government, that people did not see. Someone on the side of the red who is actually blue. This will not stay hidden anymore. Another congressman is about to be censored, one removed, and another will retire, not because they wanted to. Great upsets are coming. Great exposures are about to be released. So hold on, my children. Great things are about to take place to free you and to free my nation, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Bro, if that don't get you fired up, like, you need to check your pulse, right? And this is what I love about this, and I'm going to teach a little bit on this. Because, again, you know, this is what God has birthed in me in my ministry through the fivefold, is looking at, I look at Paul as an example to the scripture. And what do you see Paul doing in his writings? You see him referring back to the words of the prophets, right? Mm-hmm. He goes back and he's bringing forth the words of Isaiah, those things that were prophesied, and he's speaking those again into the body of Christ as an encouragement, right? And so I know who God has called me to be, and I'm thinking, okay, God, like, these aren't my words, these are your words, but it's my job, what you've called me to do. It's my responsibility, according to Ephesians 4:11, to deliver the words that God is saying, right? And the word says in Amos that God doesn't do a thing unless he first speaks to the voice of his prophets, right? Mm-hmm. God is speaking to the voice of the prophets. The only thing that's going to catch you up is if you're listening. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to be in shock and awe when all these things are happening around you and saying, what in the heck is going on? And what I've realized more so, and again, taking the responsibility and the call that God has put on my life, is to teach you as the body of Christ to equip, right? What are we supposed to do? What do we do with when we hear this kind of stuff?
Pray.
Pray. We agree, right? So I want to take you back to the Word. Now, I'm not going to go read this because it would be a very long reading. Go read the book of Exodus, right? So in Exodus, you see that God gave the Word through a prophet, right? He said, go tell this Pharaoh, let my people go, right? And then we also have to notice in that moment that then the prophet met with the leadership of the Israelites in that way and said, God is setting you free, mm-hmm. right? So the words of the prophet were delivered. Now, did that mean that day that they all walked out of Egypt?
Mm-mm.
Heck no, right? But it was God's heart, it was God's plan and purpose and his design, and it was going to come to fruition. They would be set free. But what we have to realize as the body of Christ, how did that come about? By their agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we see in the book of Exodus? Well, at first, you don't see their agreement.
Right.
You see a murmuring, mm-hmm. a complaining about the things that were happening. Because what it took was God to move in a way that he had never moved before in the way of plagues to push the hand of the enemy and say, I'll show you who's God in this situation, right? And you will let my people go by the end of this. And what I love about this, when you look at that story, when you really break that down, God did not just reveal himself to the Israelites that day. He revealed himself to the Egyptians,
mm-hmm.
right? But what was so crazy is, as God is the one that they served, that they knew, that they loved, when he spoke, they should have took those words to their heart and then let them come from their mouth. But they did not. They let the circumstances of life overwhelm them, right? Mm-hmm. They let what was going on in the plagues. And even God, in that moment, he showed a distinction between his people and the Egyptians, right? There was the first couple of plagues you see. Israel experienced them as well. But then God said, now I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you there's a distinction between the world and my people, right? And so those things that then came in circumstance, they did not touch the land of Goshen, mm-hmm. which is where the Israelites lived. But Egypt was in full force experiencing all of the circumstance, right? It's no different for us today. We can look at the word as an example for our lives. You are looking at things around you that look like they are overwhelming, like they are too much. We see stolen elections. We see lies in the judicial system. We see people being set free that should be behind bars. All of these things, when you look into the natural, they are things that are injustice. And as a matter of fact, we even have a system now in America that is created to keep that injustice in place. Mm-hmm. And again, when you look at our taxes, the inflation, it's hard to even go to the grocery store and walk out with a sack, you know, that you had the money to pay for it. And there's a greater thing that God is bringing, a greater realization, and he's speaking those things through the words of the prophet today to know and to understand God's your provider, not men, mm-hmm. not your job, you know? And I know that's like, that's something that's hard to wrap your head around. It was for me until a year ago. God called me to close the doors of my business. I walked out, locked the door. It hadn't even sold yet. Locked the door and walked away from a very substantial income that was taking care of for my family. And I'm here to tell you today, I've been without a job for 14 months and God has provided. And that has been one of the most amazing things to me that he has shown me in the journey, you know? And what I love is I've seen the truths in the word, but there must be a faith that is applied. Mm-hmm. James talks about that, right? You have to have the faith, because if you don't walk those things out, if you're just in that faith, say, oh, I believe, and I'm sitting right here. Like, what is that going to do? You got to put some action behind mm-hmm. it. You got to put some action behind that faith that God has put inside of you. He's given us all a gift of faith, the measure, because you'll look at someone else's life and you'll compare your faith to their faith. Wait a minute. The word says that he's given us the measure of faith, not a measure, because if it's a measure, then I might have one that's really big and you might have got one that was this big. No, it's the measure of faith.
Oh, so we all got the same amount.
We do, because it all comes from the Holy Spirit. I it is thought a gift it was a of the also. Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Not at all. And that is one of those places, again, we must get into the Word of God to read those things so that the Holy Spirit can reveal His truth. Mm-hmm. Because what you'll do is you'll see as we do that, you know, that oneness that he talks about in Ephesians 4:11, that all of these gifts must stay in place until that oneness appears. It's because those gifts are the ones that are going to be training and equipping and building them up to teach them the truths of the word. So then now you'll go back and you'll say, well, I got to check that out a little bit deeper. And you're going to start reading that and you're going to see that the Holy Spirit starts revealing this to you. Go into the Corinthians and look at the gifts. One of those gifts is faith. It's the measure of faith. It's up to us how we choose to walk that out, mm-hmm. right? It's where I say, you know what? I have this faith inside of me, so now I'm going to put the action behind it, as I see in the book of James, and I'm going to start seeing God do things. And you know what? Is that going to take you to places that are completely uncomfortable? Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, think about this. Go back to the story of Noah. Noah was sitting here proclaiming it's about to rain and building this ginormous boat, right, that nobody had ever seen. But do you realize not only they'd never seen a boat, they had never seen rain.
Right.
Rain had never came before, so he was a crazy person, you know? And I look at my life. I look at people saying, that dude's a crazy person. So be it, you know? Because I'm judging the tree by its fruit, and God is building an orchard all around me, not only in my life, but in the lives of people that are walking and hearing to the things that God is sharing through my life to them. And I see God bringing freedom to people that I have never seen before in my life in church, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
And again, I'm not here to bash church, but I'm here to tell you, you're the body of Christ before you're any denomination. Mm-hmm. You are the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So begin to walk in that truth. It's a greater truth than anything you can associate yourself with, you know? And what does the word say about the body of Christ? There's not one part that can say to the other, I am not in need of you.
Try it.
I need you. You need me. We need each other. We cannot do this. And when we look at that picture as the body and Christ being the head, what does she speak in this word? It says that a great resurrection is taking place. God is waking up the body because mm-hmm. we have been asleep. We have been asleep as the body of Christ. We have not seen the truths of the gospel and pursued and walked in the truths that he has called us into according to his word. We have set back, we are guilty of, and I was in this seat too. So don't think that I'm passing judgment on something that I haven't walked in myself. I was the same guy. I would sit there and listen to what he had to say, and then I would go home and try to do it, and I couldn't, and I felt miserable. Condemnation slapped me around every day of my life, and all I felt was defeated, and I just needed to get to next Sunday or to the Wednesday so I could get a little bit more poured in me, you know? instead of realizing the truth of the gospel, that there's a river that now flows from inside of me. I don't have a cup that needs to be filled up. From within me is the river that comes out, and that must overflow into the lives of others. That's who I'm called to be. That's who you were called to be. That's who you were called to be. It's not just a fivefold ministry gift. That is for the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Every one of you have a river of living water, and that must be shared. Look at Jesus and when he visited the woman at the well. I have a water that you'll drink and you'll never be thirsty again. Guess what? Now he stuck that in millions of us. Why? Because there are millions that are dry and they're thirsty. And they need you to get out there and show them the truth of the gospel, to share them, to get into the word with them, right? Some of you, are all you do is go to church. Why don't you grab a friend, two, three, go head up a coffee shop. Open the Bible. Start reading this thing. Start building each other up in your most holy faith, you know? Like, let's make it look different, because what we've seen, it's obviously not working.
Right.
Because what have we found ourselves in? When I look at this word, all these things that she talks about, treasonous acts, a screwed up judicial system, child trafficking, all of these things that are happening, God left this world to his children. Mm-hmm. And we were to walk in dominion and authority in it. Why? Because in that place, God's government being in place, this would be a place that thrived. But it's not. It's a place of slavery. Again, go back to the books of Exodus. It is no different in this place. Egypt had suppressed that Israelite culture and kept them down from being what God had created them to be. But then God showed up and said, you know what? I'm about to change it all. Mm-hmm. And what did he say today? I'm about to change it all. And he's been speaking this. And so what I want to get into right now, and this, and we're probably going to go over, but when I get into this, what does that look like for us agreeing with the words of God? And those words are brought through the voice of the prophets. We believe that through the Old Testament. Why do we all of a sudden, when we get to Matthew, think, it just quit? You know? What are we doing? It didn't just quit. God still calls all of those fivefold ministry gifts up today. And as a matter of fact, they're coming more prevalent today than they ever have been in history. But this is only a birthing of the truth of the fivefold ministry.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, you're on the beginning of it, and that excites me. Oh, that excites me. And what I love is God has now sent me four people in my life. One of them lived in New Zealand or Ireland. Never even spoke to the guy in my life. Dude, he reads my mail. Like, God just spoke through him, and he told me that he's called me to be a forerunner, to be out front, and that was funny too. My company name was Forerunner, and I went from the forerunner to the fivefold. You know, it's crazy how I see God moving in my life. And what he was saying is, like, you're a pioneer. What's a pioneer? It's a guy that's out front. Mm-hmm. I understand I'm saying things that are pushing, pulling, stretching, you know, maybe even feel like an elbow in the face at times, but I love you, dude. And I want to do nothing but share the truth of the gospel with you. Why? Because it's the truth that will bring freedom to your life.
That's right.
And all this other stuff that is not truth, it's not freedom. It's shackles and chains, mm-hmm. you know. And like condemnation, it's a shackle and a chain. It ain't for you. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I talk about sin consciousness, stop looking at that crap. Look at Christ and mm-hmm. follow Christ. And if you fall on your face, then get back up and continue on. And, you know, I mean, those are things in my life that people don't understand, too. Like, I just try to walk as transparent as I possibly can. Some of that makes my wife completely uncomfortable, you know. But it's like there are struggles in the flesh that my flesh likes or that I would want, even in the midst of fulfilling my ministry,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I don't care, because it's about Jesus, and I am not going to take my eyes off him. Is the flesh going to fail and mess up sometimes? Absolutely. But I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to continue on. And that's what the world needs to see,
mm-hmm.
you know? And first of all, the church. The church needs to see it first. Wake up, church. You need to be living this in front of people. You need to stop showing a life that looks Facebook pretty, right? We do the same thing as Christians. We've been doing this long before Facebook ever existed. We have lived with face masks, with facades on our faces, showing something that is not the truth of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
If we will get down to the truth of who we are, hey, dude, I struggle with marijuana addiction, too. It's been in my life. I struggle with looking or lust being pulling my heart when I'm a married man. I see those things that are pulling me. I walk in those things, too. But it's like, am I going to look at those and I'm going to let the condemnation slap me around and then find myself defeated and beat up and I'm never going to get over this? No. I'm going to talk to people about it. I'm going to share that. Man, this is what I'm struggling with. Would you pray for me in this moment? Confess your sins one to another. Then you will be healed, right? It's not about a confession of, oh, every night I need to go and regurgitate all the sins of my day. No, it's not that. You were made righteous. I put a Facebook post up this last week. You're either a sinner saved by grace, or what did I say? You're either a sinner or you are saved by grace. You cannot be both.
Right.
Hallelujah.
You know? You can't be both. How many times have I heard in the American Christian church today, I'm a sinner saved by grace? No, you're not. You was a sinner, and now you're saved by grace. So the sinner is gone. Mm-hmm. The new is here. That's the truth of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we hear? We hear preachers sitting up behind the pulpit saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's the guy that's leading the flock. I know I'm hitting you hard here, people. I'm hitting you preachers right in the mouth. So be it, right? We need to understand the truth of the gospel, and we must speak those things forth. And if we do not, get ready, because God's going to line you out. He's going to come in, and he's going to get you. He's going to get you on the right track. Now, he's going to do it in love, and he's going to do it. Well, you know what? But he might have to set you aside for a minute, because you have to see the truth of his word. You have to be speaking the truth of his word, or this time, as we see, he's about, you're going to have to set aside. And what I see in this time, you know, I see it, I'm very active into social media and things. I see people, they call it the deconstruction of Christianity. People are walking away like I've never seen before, you know, because we must realize the truth of that, the church. We must take accountability for that. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are our numbers not increasing? When I go read the book of Acts and I see us walking in a model that was set before us, it says that there were people added to the church daily.
Yes.
Thousands added daily. We are losing thousands daily. This is not okay.
Mm-mm.
There is a model that we're walking in that's not God's. And we must realize that. We must change our hearts. We must humble ourselves. What does the word say? If my people who were called by that name will humble themselves and repent, right? Then I will come and I will heal. I will heal their land. And that's what I, you know, what God is moving in my life right now is that way of, dude, in my natural life, again, it's funny what happens. What happens in the natural, there's always a spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there was a time in my life where my closet, the door got opened up. People got to go in. They dragged it all out, threw it out on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here just red-faced. And, oh, like, everybody sees that. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's getting to view what I had hidden so well. That was the most freeing thing in my cotton-picking life. I have never been more free on the other side of that. Now, that was the greatest hell I ever walked through.
Right.
It was. It was the greatest hell I'd ever walked through. Why? Because I was hiding hell in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
But when God brought the door, and it was a life circumstance, and this is what we have to understand about God. He works all things together for the good. Mm-hmm. Does that mean God just come down and give me that? No. The world will. But guess what? When the world goes smack, God says, oh, wait, there's beauty coming from these ashes,
mm-hmm.
right? And he created something in me, he birthed something in me from that place. And that was almost 20 years ago that I had to walk some of that crap out. But I'm telling you, I've walked in a freedom from that place and even growing more in a freedom that I've never experienced before. And one of the things I told my wife, I will never close that closet door again, ever.
Right.
And I know that makes you uncomfortable, and I'm sorry, wife. You know? But I have to, because this is what the world needs to see. Because when I can share those things with someone who doesn't know Christ, they realize, oh, so you're not this guy that's way up on this pedestal, and your life is so much better than mine, and you love God more than me, and all this crap. No, because that's exactly what it is, crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I walk in the same struggles. It doesn't matter what the calling of my life is. I walk in the same struggles that every one of you walk in. The temptations, now, are they a little bit different? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some things that draw people that don't draw other people, right? There's some people can take a drink. Some people better never touch it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's, again, what we've done as a church is we've gotten too caught up on, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, the word says to walk out your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Walk that thing out. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you can and can't do.
Yes.
He's your guide.
Mm-hmm.
And in that place, and this is what I love. And when he calls you to walk away from those things, grace. Grace shows up. Not only does he call you, but then he empowers you to walk out of it. And that's what I see according to those things that my flesh is drawn to, right? I mean, there's places, you know, and I've shared this, time when I was smoking marijuana. And you know what I did when I was smoking marijuana? I turned up my praise music and I worshiped my Father. My flesh wanted that. My flesh liked what that feeling brought to me. But you know what else? My spirit was in the lead, man. And I was still praising God in the midst of that, knowing this is not going to, this will not be forever in me. Mm-hmm. This will not forever be a draw to my life, you know? And I had to walk that out. And finally to a place where I finally set it aside and said, Father, thank you that I'm in freedom. But you know what? I didn't get, now, and then this is the thing too, and I want to share this. In that moment when I did smoke a joint, right? And I get high. Oh boy, that voice of condemnation right there. Look what you did again, boy. Look, you did it again. You know what I'd say? Shut up, dude. Get out of here. Because I am in Christ. Yeah, I indulged in the flesh in this moment. But I am in Christ, so be quiet. Because I know that's not your voice. As a matter of fact, I'm a sheep. And I know his voice. And that ain't it. You're just trying to beat me up because I messed up. But I would just praise the Father. And I would speak the truth. Even in those moments. And people are like, that is weird. No, that's the gospel.
That's the gospel.
That's the gospel, yep. Right? That's the gospel. It's even in those moments when you mess up, just go before the Father and say, dang, I messed up again, but I love you with all my heart, and I thank you that you are making a way, you are creating a way, if I don't even see one, to get me out of this thing that's drawing my flesh, right? And I'm telling you, you will find yourself in a freedom you've never experienced before in your life. And then you know what else you're going to find? You're going to find yourself being a voice into other people's life that would have never sat in a pew and listened to a preacher.
That's right.
Never. That excites me.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see the truth of the gospel. Wake up, church. Wake up. Because there's a dying world out that needs the Jesus that you know. Because they don't know him. Stop trying to paint it all pretty and perfect, because it ain't.
Mm-mm.
And if you will be real with those people in your lives, and you will just walk that out with them, in front of them, you will show them Jesus in a way you never thought possible. Because when you're just sitting there pointing out all their faults, all they feel is your judgment and condemnation. That's all they feel. You don't think they feel that anyway? You don't think the enemy is beating them up inside and out day and night? Absolutely he is, because they're living in the world. They don't have Jesus. They don't know him. There's not a rebirth that has happened in their life, but you carry that light. You carry a light to share. You know, and the simplicity of it, I look at it like a candle. The word talks about that. It uses a euphemism in there. Like, don't put your candle in their basket.
Mm-hmm.
They carry a candle too. They just don't have any flame. That's all you got to do. How do you light one candle or the other? You just touch it.
Yeah.
You just touch it. And you can pass your flame on, and guess what? Light dispels the darkness. That's what we are called to in this walk with Christ, to dispel the darkness. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen in this word, and I want to touch on this real quick and I'll shut up. But so with this word, you've heard this today. Go back and listen to it again. Maybe two or three. Go watch Julie Green. Listen to it straight from the horse's mouth if you need to. But these things that she's talking about, these are God's heart. God is speaking to his body. And what we must do is, I was painting that into the books of Exodus and showing you that comparison there. So do you understand that that first generation of Israelites did not get to enter the promised land because they did not come into agreement with the words of God and what he said he was going to do? Mm-hmm. Had they came into agreement with what God said he was going to do, those people would have experienced within 11 to 14 days of the promised land.
Right.
They would have set foot in it, but they did not agree. And they began to murmur and complain and gripe. Does all that sound familiar? About the things that are going on, our government, our taxes, our this, our that, all the things. It doesn't matter what it is in your life. You can find yourself in complaint. But you know what? God is speaking other things. You have to choose what you agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love is eventually God had to raise up another leader. Even the leader didn't get to go in because he walked in disobedience. Moses did not get to experience that. But Joshua led a new people group into, because God's word will be fulfilled. It will not return to him void. If he says it, buddy, it's going to happen. Now, the timing, and this, I love this. The timing's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
The timing is up to the body of Christ. And that's a responsibility and accountability I don't think that we even realize sometimes. I've never been taught that, but I found it in the word. When God speaks, it is my responsibility. Because I'm the body of Christ. So when God's speaking, then I must listen and I must heed his voice and I must come into agreement. And then what do we see into the word? Like, we've turned prayer into this about genie in the bottle business.
Mm-hmm.
I need, I want, this, that, and the other. No. Start speaking the things that God has in. So what does that look like in simplicity? You know, we see what God has called us to. God says what he's going to do. Father, I agree. Father, I thank you that you're removing those that are in the high seats of this country. I thank you that you're removing those that were not called according to your purpose and to your will. Father, I thank you that you are establishing the one that you have called, that you have ordained to be in rule and reign over our country. That's prayer. And that's coming to agreement with the words of God, not, oh, man, I can't wait till November so we can try to do it again. Well, we know what happens there. They just rig it and put the guy they want up there anyway. Why don't we fight this thing according to the word? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Right.
It's not about your right, the name on the ballot that you put that's going to change this country. It's about you hitting your knees in a closet and agreeing with the words that God is saying and saying, I agree, and I'm praying these things forth. What does it say? Decree or declare a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so God, I declare that you are going to put a man in this country or a woman over this country that will walk in the ways that you have for them. And God, that you will bring restoration to the land. I thank you for your word that says, if we will just humble ourselves and we will call out to you and repent for the things that we have done, Father, I thank you that you will restore and you'll heal. Father, I thank you for that. Do you know if the Israelites would have done that in the first generation, they would have experienced the goodness and the promise that God had given them.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not. God had to raise up a next generation. We're this next generation.
Yeah.
We are the Joshuas. We are the two spies who come back and say, we don't care what we've seen. We don't care what we're looking at. The other 10, and you know, that's the other thing I think, like, it's just so cool how God shows me things in the Word. Broad is the narrow to destruction, but narrow is the gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because it's always the 10 that are looking negative. It's only 2 that are seeing the truth, right? And what's my job? My job is to encourage, to build up, to equip. Be the 2.
Mm-hmm.
Let's don't follow the 10. Let's be the 2 and say, I don't care what we see. Those are freaking huge giants. So what? God gave them to our hands, you know? And again, going through the word, what, like, how can we do that? Well, go look at David. He looked at a big old giant too, and he was a small boy. And he didn't go out there with a big old sword and, you know, decked out and all of his business. What did he do? He did what God told him to do. Go pick up them 5 rocks and get out there. Because I'm about to deliver that giant into your hand. And that's what God is saying. I'm about to deliver the giants of this land in your hand. So what are you going to do? Agree? Or are you going to tuck tail and run? No. I'm not going to be the 10 spies. I'm going to be the 2 spies. I'm going to go into this thing knowing that God will deliver this mm-hmm. giant into my hands today. Not me. I don't do this under my own strength. I do this under the strength of God. And, you know, even when we teach in those things, if you don't realize all these things that I'm saying, these are scripture. I'm just not giving you the references.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the word of God. I'm just speaking forth the word of God. And that's why you guys, as the body of Christ, if you don't know that, there's a problem. Because that means you ain't reading it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in there reading it to see what it says. You're just going listening to a man that's behind a pulpit on a Sunday or a Wednesday, and he's giving you his interpretation or his spill of what gospel says. And that's all you fed on all week long. Dude, there's a problem there. There's a problem. You must get into the Word of God. Because if you do not get into this, you will not see that unity and oneness that God talks about in Ephesians 4:11. And if you really look into the end, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, it looks like it's the end times and Revelation, like Jesus is coming back, you know. Go read it. Jesus comes back for a bride that is without spot or without wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we ain't even there yet.
Nope.
We're just starting. We just now pulled out the iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
God is going to move in a way we have never seen him before. There are truths of the gospel that we must begin to walk in and see and do those things. It says lay hands on the sick. It says cast out demons. There are things that it calls us to that in religion we have said, oh, no, those things aren't for today. Really? Are there demons today? Mm-hmm. Are there people oppressed and with demons inside them today? Absolutely. So what should we be doing? Getting out there and setting them free. Are there people that are walking in sickness, infirmity in their health? Absolutely. So what should we be doing? Laying hands on them and saying recover. And you know, again, just walking it out, talking it out. You know how many people I've laid my hands on and prayed and I didn't see squat happen?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many. Thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It doesn't change the truth of the gospel.
Right.
I could allow it to. I can allow the circumstance to speak louder than the truth of the gospel, but it's not going to stop me from praying the things that I know the word says. It's not going to stop me from putting my hands on somebody and saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Why? Because I believe it's the truth, and I'm going to continue to walk in this. Until what? Until I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to quit until I see it. And God has moved in my life and the people around me in moments. You know, I'm 46 years old, and I've seen God do miraculous things in moments. But I look at the life of Jesus, and it says he healed them, capital A-L-L. The disciples walked, and their shadow would touch someone, and the infirmity would leave their body, and they were restored. Yeah. These things that I did, greater things I've called you to as my body of Christ, right? We've seen in the life of Jesus. I want you to get this. What we've seen in the life of Jesus. You remember that point where they were telling him, don't go, stay. And he said, I have to go. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. What you see in me, I'm about to send and put into a plethora of people. There are many Jesuses walking all over this earth. Why? Because the same Spirit that literally raised Christ Jesus from death lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
What power does that hold? We see it. We see it according to the Word. We see the power that it holds. So what must we do? We must continue in it, walk in it, and I don't care what I see. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to keep praying the truth of what I know is the gospel, and that's what I love about Paul. What does he say? Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You have gotten off from the truth of what this is saying so quickly. And, you know, he wasn't name-calling when he called them foolish. That wasn't what he was doing. He was saying, you who are not understanding. That's what that word meant. He wasn't belittling them. He was saying, you're not understanding. You've got into a place where you're not understanding the truth of what was delivered to you in the first place. And we have to see, this is still right here today for us as our guide. So as I read this and I see it's true, so I say, that's for me. And I will walk this out. And Father, I thank you that it's not in my own strength, but it's in you, that Holy Spirit that's in me. So I'm going to start doing the thing. It may be so weird for you. And on the last, and I'll close this out. Do you realize, let's look at the world and what's happening. Do you realize that they are performing satanic ritual right in front of your face?
Mm-hmm.